Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I wonder what's going to happen on the day after your breakthrough comes. I wonder what the rest of the church are going to think when your breakthrough comes through. Theirs hasn't. I wonder what the people that should have been here tonight are going to think when the suddenly turns up in your life. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said these words, "Have faith in God." Four simple words that were not a suggestion, but they were a commandment. Have faith in God. I wonder how many people from the Gospel Center are sitting at home tonight watching some secular TV program they shouldn't be watching. Perhaps searching through on their computer for something they shouldn't even be wasting their time on, when they should be here, hungry to know how we step into our breakthrough. What's it going to be like in your community when God shows up in your life and what you've been standing on suddenly appears? What's it going to be like when the fulfillment of your dreams and your visions that God's laid upon your heart are suddenly in front of you? Augustine of Hippo said this, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe." Have faith in your football team. Have faith in your finances. Have faith in the job you've got. You see, we've got these myriad of things that are drawing us away from having faith in God. As I began this series, I've been seeking breakthrough in my life. I've been seeking breakthrough for our life. I've been seeking breakthrough for this church, for family, for friends, for business owners that I'm praying for. I'm seeking, I'm hungry, I'm desperate for a breakthrough for these people. I'm wondering how desperate these people are for a breakthrough of their own. Are you hungry for a breakthrough tonight? Are you hungry for faith in God to turn the situation around? I believe earnestly, friends, that a breakthrough will not come into your life, into my life, into our lives, until we're willing to obey God's instructions and take a step of faith by having faith in God. Pastor Cole said it this morning, I said it only last Sunday morning. When Jesus becomes the center of our lives, we put everything we have into that center and everything else flows out from that. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is what? Impossible to please Him. Without faith. You see, breakthroughs are likely to come if you seek out that breakthrough. You can sit all day long in your television imagining what you're going to have for dinner that night, but that dinner will not appear if you stay in your seat and your wife or your husband says, "I'm not doing this for you anymore," for those of us who are married. And yet we expect God to be the God of the breakthrough when we're not hungry for the breakthrough ourselves. Isn't He God? Isn't he the God of the impossible? Well, surely it's possible if I sit here and do nothing, he can still break through. Yes, he can, but no, he won't. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. Have faith in God. The words of Jesus, surrounded by the disciples, and then he talked about speaking to the mountains. But we're not going to go there tonight. I want to talk tonight about how our faith in God can unlock his favor and bring provision for that breakthrough. How our faith in him. Take our faith off everything else and put our faith in him. I was talking to a philosopher the other day, and he said, "I don't understand this faith stuff." I said, "What don't you understand about this faith stuff?" He's a deep thinker. I like deep thinkers. But he doesn't get faith. I said, "Did you put faith in that chair when you sat down?" His answer was, "I paid a lot of money for that chair." That wasn't my question. "How long have you owned the chair?" "I've owned it for years." "And how many times have you sat on it?" He said, "Probably thousands of times." And I said, "Did you check its structure every time you sat on it to make sure it would take your weight on that chair?" He said, "No, I don't have to." So where is your faith in regard to that chair? Is it in the faith of the money you paid for it, the manufacturer's name on it, the type of leather they covered it with? Or is it in faith in the structure of that chair that makes it strong enough for you to sit on? He didn't know how to answer me. I said, "That's faith." And likewise, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises in his word, things not yet seen, but things I believe in, just like you sit on that chair. I want to unlock some faith tonight. I want to unlock some things so that God's favor can allow you, get my words here, allow you to step into your breakthrough. I don't know about you, but to step into something, I've got to arise from a position and I've got to move. Can you picture me tonight, sitting in my easy chair, glass of orange juice next to me, watching my favorite television program, and Robin says, "Would you be able to go up and rearrange that floral arrangement sitting there on the table?" And I go, "Yes, dear." I can't do it from that position. I can't step up. I can't step into what I've been asked to do. I have to arise. I have to get up from the position I'm in, and I have to move into what I've been called to do. Come with me to 2 Kings chapter 7 tonight, the story of the four lepers. The lepers who were chucked outside the gate, waiting to die, knowing they couldn't go back in without being killed. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Thank you. I talk faster than I think, I know. Or I think faster than I talk. I don't know. Sometimes it's different. I want to read from verse 3 down to verse 14. You see, these men received an amazing, dramatic breakthrough in their life that actually saved their life. And it was a breakthrough from God. And I believe tonight we can learn a lot from the example they've shown us. They were in a desperate situation. They were lepers. They were outcasts. Their city was under attack. Their people were going to die of starvation. They were already starving. Not a pretty picture. Not a nice outlook for you tomorrow, is it? Their hope was nearly gone. You ever been in a place where your hope is nearly gone? You know, we talk about all hope was lost. I don't think all hope can ever be truly lost. I think there's always got to be a minute particle of hope. And I know his name is Jesus in my life. Let's read, shall we? Now, four men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city's gate, and they said one to another, "Why do we sit here until we die?" I'm in verse 3. "If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we will die also. So now come, let us go over to the army of the Syrians. If they spare us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." That's pretty obvious, isn't it? "So they arose in the twilight and went to the Syrians' camp. For when they came to the edge of the camp, no man was there. For the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. They'd said to one another, 'The king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian king to come upon us.' So the Syrians arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. And when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried away silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them in the darkness. They entered another tent and carried from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This is a day of glad good news, and we are silent and do not speak up. If we wait until daylight, some punishment will come upon us for not reporting at once. So come now, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city. They told them, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was neither sight nor sound of man there, only the horses and the donkeys tied, and the tents as they were.' Then the gatekeepers called out and was told to the king's household within. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, 'I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city.' One of the servants said, 'Let some men take 5 of the remaining horses. If they are caught and killed, they'll be no worse off than all the multitude of Israel left in the city to be consumed. Let us send and see.' So they took 2 chariot horses, and the king sent them after the Syrian army, saying, 'Go and see.'" The breakthrough came to 4 down and outers who didn't have much hope of their tomorrow. They got up from the position they were in and they stepped into the breakthrough that God had waiting for them. What amazes me in this story is the negativity that waits for them where their good report of a breakthrough comes and they want to share their breakthrough with the city. "I'm not so sure about that," says the king. Verse 3 says this: "Why should we sit here until we die?" Friends, they realized that if they just sat there and did nothing, how many people do we know in our lives that sit there and do nothing and expect something to happen? Are we like that sometimes? I think yes, if we're honest. We cry out to God and we expect God to move the mountains when He tells us that we need to speak to the mountains in order for them to move. They sat there and did nothing. Something would happen and it's called death. A finish, a finale, a finito to the end. So they decided that they would take the risk. How many times are we called by God to step into His promise and it seems like risky business to us. Verse 4, they say to each other, if they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, it's just an early finish. Amen? Can you imagine the shock of these four lepers as they started to leave their safety, almost, and stepped into what they thought may be their death sentence, and they discovered that the whole camp was abandoned. We're talking masses of tents. We're talking masses of food, clothing, weaponry, silver, gold, all sorts of treasure. When you're hungry, forget the silver and gold. That doesn't taste so good. Forget the new clothes. I want something to eat. Can you just picture them just shoveling the grapes in and picking up the figs and grabbing the legs of lamb and just munching out? They're starving. They're not just there for a nibble. They're not there for a midnight snack. They're starving. They grab plunder because their bellies are starting to ache. They're so full, and they go, wow, we've arrived, and they start to hide it. But look at their next move. They say, this is all right for us. Hoo-hoo to the rest of them. Tough. Get over it. You didn't care for us. No, they don't. They do exactly what good people do. They share their breakthrough with others. Amen? Their step of faith, born out of desperation. This is a desperate move. Sit here and die. Go there and maybe die. At least we get a feed maybe before we die. At least the end will come quickly. They reaped, friends, an unbelievable harvest of food, clothing, silver, gold, and I don't know what else. The livestock was still there. They wouldn't have had to walk back to the city. They could have ridden. Can you picture what it was like to go from a hopelessness to an absolute abundance of fullness? That's a breakthrough, friends. The bottom line is they would have surely died if they'd stayed on the outskirts of the city, grumbling, complaining, blaming others, full of self-pity for their plight. But they took action. They took bold action. And they received an incredible new beginning from God. This is just not a happy story that the boys all decided they were going out to Macca's for dinner, so they just packed up their belongings, walked down to Macca's. God made them go because there was a sound of chariots and horses that sounded like a mighty army, to the point they said not only the Hittites joined together with the Israelites, but the Egyptian kings also. They were within packing it. They just didn't say, we've got to fight this off, we've got to be ready. They just fled. Nobody sounded the retreat, they just fled. Nobody sent out an advance guard to see what the numbers were like, to see if they could fight these men coming towards them on horses and chariots. They just fled. That's God, and that's God of the breakthrough. So what's holding you back? What's holding me back? What's holding us back from our breakthrough? I believe the bottom line is just sometimes we're waiting on God to deliver us from our kind of affliction, our kind of situation. But friends, I want to say today that He's waiting for us to obey His voice, the voice of His Holy Spirit, and take action. Gloria Copeland often used to say, the word works if you work the word. Be not just hearers of the word, but be doers also. Oh, but God, you told me I'm going to be this, and God, you told me I was going to do that, and God, you told me you're going to take me out of that and put me into that. And He said, yeah, I did. But like I told Moses, Like I told Joshua, every place you put your foot on, that I will give to you. Every move you make, I've gone ahead of you and prepared the way for you. When they marched around the walls of Jericho, what did they have to do? They had to march around. They didn't do it in their sleep. They didn't do it in their dreams and visions. They got up in the morning and they marched around. Exact obedience to what God had told them to do. And what happened? The breakdown came and the breakthrough was there. Why? Because they heard the voice of God and they're obedient to it. Amen? You know, you and I are probably a good prayers. We pray for God to intervene in our circumstances. But do we spend time listening to His instructions on what we're meant to do? I like my technology. How many know that Pastor Lou likes his technology? My grandson the other day said to me, "Grandpa, would you be able to put this mod onto my Minecraft game?" A mod. It's an add-on. It's an addition. Mum doesn't know how to do it, but I'm sure you'll be able to do it for me, Grandpa. So I said, that should be easy. So I experimented on my iPad. Piece of cake. Remember that he had an Android tablet, not the same operating system. Tried it on my phone. No worries at all. I can do that. I can play mods on my Minecraft game on my phone now. Can you do that, Pan? I'm not speaking in tongues. So I sat down with his tablet the other day. I had a spare hour, so I thought this would be good. I'll just set it all up for him, and when he finishes school on Friday, he'll be able to have it. He'll be wrapped. Grandpa will be a hero. Well, 2.5 hours later, I still haven't been able to do it. I know a guy called Mr. Google. He knows answers to everything. So I typed in how to put mods, add-ons, on Minecraft PE. An 8-year-old boy came up on YouTube and explained to me how to do it. He's amazingly videoed himself with the instructions of how to do this technical thing that a 35-year-old man can't do. See, 35. I told you earlier I'm 35 and a bit. The trouble is I still haven't been able to do it. I'm not downloading the instructions somehow. There's a blockage somewhere, and it's not coming through Block Launcher, the mod add-on app. Those who speak English. Pam's lost. But isn't it the same sometimes when we read God's Word? It's gobbledygook. It's a mod add-on app that we haven't got. It's something we haven't discerned because we've got the wrong operating system or the wrong operating way of doing things, or the instructions are too fast, or they're not quite what we've got our headspace for. But the Bible, friends, is full of examples of people who sought a breakthrough and received the breakthrough only after their step of faith. It might have been a geographical move. It might have been a sowing of financial seed. It might have been an act of forgiveness. It might have been an act of reconciliation. It may have been a season of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. Naaman, for example, had to dip himself 7 times. How many times? Did 6 work for him? Did 6 and nearly made it work for him? God asked him to wash himself 7 times in the River Jordan to be healed of leprosy. And on the 7th time, he was healed. So can I ask you, if you're taking notes tonight, take note of these characters and then ask yourself the question over the next few days. As you examine your own life in light of these examples, have we exercised our faith enough for God's breakthrough to come? Are you and I allowing anything to hold us back. So I'll start with this one. If people or geography have held you back from your prophetic destiny in the Lord, remember this man called Abraham. Abram, who became Abraham, who at the age of 75, if it's helpful to anyone here tonight, was called by God to leave his relatives, to leave his family, to leave his idolatrous culture in the land of Ur, in order to venture out to a promised land that the Lord had prepared for him and his descendants. Geographically, God said, I'm going to show you a place where you need to go. Imagine Abram dipping into his pocket, pulling out his GPS on his phone. Give me the coordinates. He stepped out by faith. He walked by faith. He arrived in his destination by faith in God, not in a GPS, not in a system that's man-fed, but he had faith in God. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, if you're taking notes. Friends, if you've been victimized, mistreated, if people have caused you physical or emotional trauma, remember this man called Joseph, who forgave his jealous brothers, even though they'd thrown him into a well for him to die, and then sold him on to slavery. Genesis 50, 18 to 21. Remember the woman at the well. I remember a pastor preaching that really recently, like this morning. John 4, verses 1 to 42. Remember the woman caught in adultery. Same story this morning. John 8, 1 to 11. Both of these women were traumatized at the hands of men and their own foolish choices. Yet both of them received a life-changing turnaround when Jesus forgave them and restored them. You can't tell me that's not a breakthrough in their life. You can't say to me Joseph didn't have a breakthrough in his life. He was doomed to die in that well. He was doomed to die at the hands of slave masters. He was doomed to die in the prison of the Pharaoh. That was his destiny. But because he had his eyes set on God, his faith was not moved by his geographical location. It wasn't moved by the trauma he was put through. It wasn't moved by the victimization that was put upon him. He just loved God, and God gave him a breakthrough. If you've been ridiculed, if you've been rejected, if you've been labelled as a pain, remember Jabez, whose name means pain. Thanks, Mum. Had a difficult childhood. Imagine going to school, what's your name? Jabez. Oh, pain. Oh, you're going to be fun to work with. He cried out in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Cried out to the system. Went to the Ombudsman, went to the Minister of Education, went to the Federal Minister of Education, went to the Prime Minister. He turned his eyes on God, and God gave him a breakthrough of prosperity and of blessing. Friends, if you've suffered the grief, the pain of losing a loved one, remember Naomi. Remember Ruth. They both found a wonderful new beginning when they moved back to Judah, the land of praise, in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 22. Friends, if you've committed immorality, if you've committed an act of violence against another person, remember David, the greatest king of all kings, apart from the Lord, of course, who received God's forgiveness and received cleansing after committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband, Uriah. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, 1-5. Friends, if you're facing insurmountable financial struggles, remember the widow at Zarephath who found God's supernatural provision when she sacrificially provided for Elijah despite her own need. 1 Kings 17, 8-16. If you're facing a serious illness, I've already mentioned Naaman. He was a Syrian general, if you don't mind. Healed of leprosy. Now, can you picture this? The Syrian army is a mighty army. To be a general of a mighty army, you've got to be a special type of man. You've got to be quick to think. You've got to understand logistics. You've got to be strong. You've got to be directive. You've got to show good leadership, not just be an overlord, but show good leadership. The man is stricken with leprosy. His whole life and career and the well-being of his family hangs literally at a balance of who he's going to turn to. And again, God brings along the prophet Elisha and tells him, go and dip yourself in the River Jordan, not once, not twice, but seven times. 2 Kings 5, 1-27. King Hezekiah, when you're facing a serious illness, remember King Hezekiah, whose life was extended by 15 years when he seemed to be on his deathbed, according to 2 Kings 20, 1-6. His life was extended from a deathbed by 15 years because he turned his attention to God and sought a breakthrough in his life. How desperate are you tonight for a breakthrough? How eager are for you to see God's hand move in your life? What about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verses 25-34? She suffered 12 years before receiving her supernatural healing. Friends, it was supernatural. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was made whole. Friends, if you're facing a situation where you're bound by fear, depression, some other form of oppression from the enemy, remember how Jesus set the demoniac free in Mark chapter 5, verses 1-20. He was bound up by Satan. He was in bondage. He was chained by the work of the devil. And Jesus sets him free from that existence into a place of glorious liberty. Can you picture what God can do based on what he's already done? Will you do it again? We just sang that song. God, will you do it again? Are you desperate? Are you hungry enough for you to say, God, I have faith in you. What do I need to do to step into my breakthrough? Are you with me tonight? If you've allowed fear and cowardice to cause you to deny your relationship with the Lord, remember Peter? Foot-in-mouth disease, as Pastor Cole said tonight. John chapter 21, verses 15-17, denied the Lord three times. Yet on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes down and boldly declares to the city of Jerusalem, Jesus is Lord. It was you who crucified him. Now change your heart, repent. 3,000 souls come out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Friends, if you've been guilty of being religious but realize you lack an intimate relationship with Jesus, remember Nicodemus? John chapter 3, verses 1-8. Jesus talks to him about being born again. How can a man be born again? How can a man re-enter his mother's womb. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Remember this great man, Saul. I feel like I'm stealing part of Pastor Cole's sermon from the message this morning, but Saul of Tarsus, he was zealous for religious law. Zealous. Picture Cole this morning pulling the sword against the church. Talk about the Roman torches where they literally set Christians alight on poles to light the roadways. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19, Jesus comes and dramatically breaks through into Saul's life, and he becomes Paul, the great apostle. Friends, if you've strayed from God, if you've wasted and squandered your life in living wild and in addictive ways and things that don't honor God, Luke 15, verses 11 to 32 talks about, again, what Cole mentioned this morning, the prodigal son. Father's servants are living better than I am. And here I am living with the pigs, needing scraps. Not only did he have a breakthrough for his dad, but he had a complete turnaround. And fresh favor came into his life when he made that decision to step out of where he was and step back into his father's house. All of these people, and many, many more, received breakthroughs from God when they believed him. When they believed him and took steps to obey his instructions. These were just ordinary people, just like you and I, but they turned towards an extraordinary God and they cried out to him, What must we do? Are you and I being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God? Are we allowing him to show us the steps of faith that we need to take in order to experience our breakthrough, for it to begin? Friends, there's this little word called procrastination. We talk the talk, but we never walk the walk. We make excuses. We blame others for all the difficult circumstances we're in. And we don't stop asking God for the breakthrough we need. Remember this. You and I have a Heavenly Father who loves us deeply. How deep? I can't measure the depth of his love, can you? Jeremiah 29:11 says God has an amazing plan for your life. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that God has an amazing plan for your life? Do you believe that he has the ability to empower you with his Holy Spirit and give you every resource you need for an abundant life in Christ? Do you believe that? That Jesus said, I have come that you would have and enjoy life in abundance. To the full, till it overflows. Do you believe that? The God of the breakthrough has got that for you. Friends, not only will God be faithful to give you a turnaround for your circumstances, but he will also be faithful to continue that work of transformation. You might have a suddenly, or as Trudy prayed earlier, it may take days, it may take months, it may take weeks or years, but God is the God of the breakthrough. T.D. Jakes said this, resist your fear. Fear will never lead you to a positive end. Go for your faith and what you believe. Are you caught up in disbelief? Are you caught up in doubt and fear and uncertainty? Jesus said those four words in Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. Close with this passage. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work where? In you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident. That's what gives you steps of faith. Being confident in him. Listen to what the Amplified says. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, Paul writing to us, the church, will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. How could Paul say such a thing? Because he had faith in God. He had had a breakthrough in his life that turned him from going one way to a 180 degree back the other way to do the work that God had called him to do. T.D. Jakes, let me quote that again. Resist your fear. The fear that stops you getting up from where you're in. That fear that stops you stepping out by faith into your breakthrough. That's my words, not his. Fear will never lead you to a positive end. That's a bit of a dir moment, isn't it? Go for your faith and what you believe. Go. Step into that place of faith. Step into the next level of faith. Keep stepping, keep moving, keep advancing until your breakthrough arrives. Amen?